Lord, I pray, Lord, for a moment and a taste of heaven here on earth, Lord. Just had the scripture in my heart and I want you to receive it. I want you to make it your own. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says the following, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And there's two parts where I believe, just prophetically, I want to share this morning. In the week I was tired and I was spending time with the Lord. I was sitting down and struggled to connect with God. And I was thinking, Lord, should I sing? Should I read Bible? Should I read more Bible? Should I be quiet and wait on Him until He speaks? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? I had this thirst. I so wanted to connect with Him, but I just didn't know how to get there. And it was just the Lord dropped in my spirit. He said, Retief, you have turkeys to do. Retief, you don't have to do tricks. You have turkeys to do. You don't have to do tricks before I can love you, before I can connect with you, before you can hear from me. And today, we're not everybody here. There's a couple of people away for the weekend, but I just want to speak a liberty into the Spirit here, even in worship. Guys, worship in church should never be to do tricks for the Lord, to get a treat, after which we can go home. You don't have to worship as Edna's worshiping. You don't have to worship the way Nick's worshiping. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Obviously, we do it in love so that other people can worship as well, in a practical sense. But I just believe I want to come and just ask God to bring a liberty over us as a people. Thank you, Lord, on a Sunday we don't have to come and do tricks for treats. We come through Christ boldly and worship in the way in which we worship. And I pray for that freedom. And the second part is I want to pray and I want to contend this morning for our times of worship with the Lord at home. Because you know what? Whenever I sense a freedom, whenever I can dance here like a David, whenever I can just connect with God, it quite frankly is what happens at home as well. And so, I don't want to contend only for a Sunday for you and with you, but I want to contend for us as a church daily. Not for, only for me, but for my wife, for my children as well. So, will you mind just praying with me that we can contend for the sacred spaces with God daily? That you can freely worship Him in your inner room. That you can connect with Him, not having to do tricks. Sonder om turkies te doen. Yes, have discipline as the Lord leads, but as the Spirit brings freedom. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Holy Spirit, we just ask. We need help. I need help. As I saw this week again, sometimes you hit it, sometimes you don't, and then that performance wants to kick in, and I just repent. But I want to speak this freedom over this church community, Lord, especially those that's away or can't be here today, Lord. A freedom. A freedom. Christ has paid. He's done the ultimate. And we can step boldly in faith into your presence, Lord. On a Sunday, I pray for a freedom, Lord, that I can sit down and just whisper to God. I was in a very big church at this stage of my life, a very, very big church, and they were very busy. Just a quick testimony. And I could never connect when the sound was on and the music and the lights and everything. I couldn't. It was like a sea of stuff, and everybody's connecting with God, but I'm not. Until the day I sat down and I started to whisper to God. Poof, and He just came and He just rocked me. I just whispered to Him. I'm not saying everybody in that church should have whispered. That's not my heart. I'm saying, how do you connect with God? And do you connect with Him daily? That's what I stand for, and that's what I pray for. God, we want to connect with you daily. Holy Spirit, help us as we contend for the sacred spaces to connect with the Lord in the way in which He hears us and we hear Him. It will always be in line with the Word. But Lord, it need not be religious. It need not be trickery. Because that's the flesh and it's not the Spirit. Come and release us of any bondage, Lord, in this area. Release this church of any bondage, Lord. And every expectation that one brother might have had on another brother in the way in which they should worship or not worship, we repent. It's a personal thing, but yes, it's a corporate thing. But thank you, Holy Spirit, where you are, there is freedom. Lead us in all freedom, at home, but also in church, in Jesus' name.
I actually have two things that I quickly wanted to share, and this first one really ties in with what he says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So there's freedom to enter into the Holy of Holies. And last week in intercession, while we were praying, I saw the lampstand that's in the inner courts of the temple. They had the menorah with the seven parts and the flame. And before you entered the Holy of Holies, this is where the lampstand was. And this, these seven flames represent the Holy Spirit, the seven ways in which the Holy Spirit manifests. And I just felt like this morning, where we have difficulty entering into the Holy of Holies, it's by the Spirit. It's only by the Spirit that we are able to do that. And I just want to pray this there. Rinda felt the same actually this morning. She came with that flag. So God is confirming what he wants to do in the congregation. So it's very exciting. In Isaiah 11 verse 2, and I pray this over our church congregation, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on you, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I really believe this is how we enter into the Holy of Holies, is by the Holy Spirit, by revering God, by knowing his wisdom, knowing him. So, Father, thank you for your Spirit, Lord. Thank you that your Spirit will rest on us. And thank you that by your blood you tore the veil so that we can enter into the Holy of Holies by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that gift, Lord. And I pray that you will manifest this in our midst, Lord. That you will come and show us what these seven ways of your Spirit are. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then the other picture I saw while we were singing now, I saw Jesus coming with a ring. And we are his bride. And it's just that thing of when you, ladies, you will know, when you marry a man, you become his. You are not your own anymore, you become his. And you try to submit, and you try to do things the way, obviously to honor him and to bless him. And I felt like that's what Jesus, he will never push you, he's a gentleman, but that's what he would love us to do for him. As his bride, give up everything. Take his name, take his ring, become his completely, and do what he likes. Please him in everything you do. And I just felt like this morning it was almost like not a plea, but like an invitation from Jesus giving us the ring again and asking us to be his bride. To be his bride in every sense of the word. Yeah.
Is there anybody else that sense they have a word this morning for the church?
Yesterday when I was having my quiet time, I just felt like the Lord was saying, it's not about what you do. It's not about all the reading the Bible, going to church, whatever. It's about relationship. He wants who you are, not what you can do. And the place of protection is in his presence. And the only time you're in his presence is when you're in total relationship with him. And I think it ties in with everything that's being said this morning, is that we need to spend time with the Lord. And not out of obligation, but out of love. Because that's where we want to be. Because if you spend time with somebody and it's out of obligation, you're never going to enjoy it. But when you go and you just love on somebody, when you go and love on the Lord with all that you are, in who you are, whether it's drawing pictures or painting or singing or writing poetry or whatever it is that you do that is so special to you, give that to the Lord. I mean, sometimes I will have coffee with the Lord, because coffee, I enjoy coffee. It's what I enjoy doing. So I go and I have coffee with the Lord. I make myself a cup of coffee and I get him and I sit down and we chat. Because it's what I love to do and I love to be in his presence. And I got a picture this morning of somebody roaming through here trying to steal. And God was saying, when you're in my presence, when you're under the shadow of my wing, nothing will get stolen from you. I will protect you.
But just in this moment, let's just close our eyes and just respond once again. Thank you, Lord, that you clearly speak to our hearts and speak into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we heed to your voice. And I pray that we'll be that people, Lord, that by your grace and by your Spirit, keep it real. But it also comes with that conviction, it comes with that yielding of total surrender. Of again receiving the ring of the Spirit, knowing that I'm not my own anymore. I'm not my own anymore. And may that be our truth, Lord. For each and every home represented in this community, God, each and every person here today, and especially also, Lord, those brothers and sisters that are not here, Lord, may it be our truth in Jesus' name. I just see you. I just see. Might be not a physical ailment, but I just see somebody with a bent back. Skewe ruggraat, and I just believe God wants to bring restoration in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you'll just bring realignment in our lives, Lord, that we can stand upright. You bring the realignment of righteousness through Christ Jesus in our lives, Lord. And I just thank you for that. And then there's, to see somebody that looks like a black cap or a hat, top hat that you put on and take off now and again. But I believe it speaks of maybe a godly covering. And this is not church talk, hear my heart. Father God, thank you that wherever we're not, as Edna said, submitted under the groom's authority, under his hand, under his loving protection. But somehow we come under these false hats of authority, Lord. Just come and reveal that to us, Holy Spirit. Because we want to walk under your protection and your authority, Jesus Christ, the shepherd of his sheep. So we just thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Is there somebody, a person that has a prophetic word in this moment, but you've not shared it, but you know that God has given you a word for us this morning? I want to encourage you to share it. There is somebody.
Well, just while worshiping, God gave me a specific word for myself, and then I tested it and I was like, Lord, is this you? Because it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound, can this be? And then he just said, yes, it's Holy and it's Spirit, it's me. And for a third time, just now, already speaking, God, I was like, Lord, is this you? And he just told me, don't doubt. And just what was on my heart is encouragement. And there are people here today that need encouragement. But you need it from God himself. You need to hear his voice. So I actually want to ask you to raise your hands so that we can pray for you. If that's okay, you can all close your eyes. If you just feel you want encouragement, just raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Give those hands. I believe there are more people. There's still a couple of more. Thank you, Lord, and I can just raise my hand with us. And thank you that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we can just pray in Jesus' name and ask with faith, Lord, that you would come and speak to every heart that put up their hand. Not what we think we need to hear because of our perception, but what you see of us, where we are right now. Thank you, Father, for faith in the place of fear. And I thank you, Lord, it's not about us because we fall short. But it is about you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
That's a word, but it wasn't from the Lord. Let's just stay in this space. Let's just stay in this space. I just sensed two things while Stephen was speaking. And firstly, Anina, ek het net te opstaan, toe hoor ek net Maria of Mary, En ek het gedink aan just Mary that was spending time at the feet of Christ, and I really know that the Lord, and what I sense from that is you were called for intimacy. And I just want to pray that. Thank you, Lord, for intimacy that you've called her for. And thank you, Lord, that she's tasted and know you. But thank you that you encourage her of who she is. She was made for you, Lord. And she need not doubt that she was made to be in those intimate places in the way which you ordain, Lord, in her life. And we just speak and we just pray that over her. And we just thank you for that. That we just come and hedge her in from all sides through your Spirit, Lord. We come and claim that with her, Lord, her true identity and that beautiful connection that she was made for and called for, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for Kyle. I just saw Kyle that I sense in like the Afrikaans word, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my seun in wie ek wel behaag het. And so, Lord, thank you that over Kyle you're saying today, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Thank you, God, that you'll encourage his heart like never before, Lord. In Jesus' name, and I just thank you for that, Lord.
During the course of the week, I'm a big end times prophecy fundi. Well, actually, I just love it to see how Bible is becoming reality. And some of those scoffers out there, just to prove them a point, or wrong, if I can put it that way. I just have such a big thrill when I see stuff happening. And one of the things that God laid note was the Euphrates River is almost dry. And that is one of the last bit of prophecies that needs to come to before the actual coming of Jesus Christ with the rapture. So bottom line was, I'm thinking, okay, God, so what are you trying to tell me? Why do I need to share this with the church? Because I'm sure you guys have all seen it. And when Edna said, I give you the ring, please take the ring. You know, there's a time that's going to come. It's actually so at hand, is where Holy Spirit is going to be poured out. And are you ready for it? And that was the question that God laid on my heart. And I said to him, you know what, Lord, you know, we are so busy with the things of the world because we're believing so many lies that we have to own homes, we have to own cars, and we have to, yes, we've got a responsibility, we need to pay our debts. Please do not get me wrong. But it's, how can I put this? You shouldn't chase after it anymore. That time, I want to almost say, is it's come and gone. The realization is you need to chase after Holy Spirit, Father God, and Jesus Christ now. Because he's already overcome the rest. So if we're going to keep on looking at our economic, South Africa, lovely. We are going to have a serious problem. We're going to miss Holy Spirit. And it has to start here. It has to start in South Africa for the rest of the world to actually take flame. But are you ready to receive him?
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, guys, for that. I think there's a lot to chew on and take home. And I believe a lot of that also is just what I quickly want to share on today. You can go to my slides. Thank you. So that we can run ahead and use the time wise. We've been speaking this year about being anchored, and I think what Natasha touched on and just the reality, or maybe sometimes a wake-up call, it's just to ask, Lord, am I anchored and where am I anchored? In other words, what is it that I'm building my life on? And if everything gets shaken now in my life, will I freak out or will I be anchored? If everything should change in a day, if everything should change in a week, if the coming is in this week, for instance, or if just your circumstances change in your life, will you be fine? I've also realized that, man, I just thought of the Acts Church and how they operated, and then I also chatted to people in the week, and how vastly different the lifestyle of a Christian has become. And I may be the first that is guilty of that and need to go just check on my own life. Is the groom totally, or do my heart and my life entirely belong to the groom? And so we've been looking about being anchored, and what are you anchored you know, you're anchored in your pension fund or your business or your house or your second house and your third house or your family and your friends, etc. Where is your life's anchor? What keeps you steady? What keeps you safe? And it's a thing that the Lord dropped on my heart just, I think it was at the beginning of the week, is the word friendships or friendship. And we're going to unpack it this week and maybe next week and maybe a third. I'm not sure. Hopefully not too long. But today I just want to lay a foundation. We've looked at many things that I believe is godly, biblical things that you can be anchored to. But there's an anchor and a blessing in friendship, godly friendship, biblical friendship. And we want to know, what is that? Like Natasha said, if everything should turn in a day, if time totally runs out, what is the things that are eternal in your life? And you can maybe quickly do the math. This is not a hard word. This is just, as Ralph also said, it's just a bit of a, let's hit pause. What is eternal in my life? By the way, Albert, that sound thing is gone. Well done. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to honor you guys. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. That's a blessing. And so we're just going to trust that the Lord comes and stirs our hearts and check that we are anchored. And if so, we're going to look at friendships. Let's quickly pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you helped Albert. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you helped us into a place of freedom, of worship, to know you and not perform, yet be disciplined and yet walk in light and within the boundaries of your loving word. Holy Spirit, please come and touch our hearts today. Please come and bring forth change where we need it. Please come and empower those that need it. Please come and encourage, as Stephen said, those that need it today. Please come and encourage us. Please come and stir the fire that we need in these times. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pietri preached last week and the week before, I preached on loving and that we need to take down the walls. In other words, I said in this area, it started in Gauteng, it moved down through the Free State, and now it's in the Western Cape. Everybody puts up walls, Vibercrete, other walls, they put up electric fences, they put up spiky stuff, they install alarm systems and security systems, and they just go bonkers. And that's just how it goes. And so it's been the last 2 decades or so that this has happened, and unfortunately it is so, because people have a primary need to be safe and secure. We want to be safe and secure, we want to survive. Ek wil lewe. And so this is unfortunately just the fruit of what happens in our country. We trust that God's going to change that and that He's going to bring forth revival. Not that we're going to knock down the walls, but that we can have a freedom and that healing can take part in our nation. But moreover than that, I believe also sometimes we as a church, we as those that follow Christ, need to be aware that we don't put up walls, Vibercrete, electric fencing, and spikes around our hearts. Thank you, Demi. Praise the Here. The thing is that we've been called to love and walk in love, firstly receiving it, but also having to be able to live it out. And if I can only love my wife and my children, but man, oh man, I've got so many walls, I cannot love past it. I cannot love Narina. I cannot love Annalise. And they're Christians. Not even speaking about the people that persecute me on Facebook. If those walls are there, I'm not going to have a good picture, and I'm not going to be the rightful picture, a right picture of the Lord either. And so I just challenge myself and say, Lord, where's their walls in my heart? Christ loved whom? He loved His family, yes. He also loved strangers. He loved the nations. Who's the one you're following? Jesus Christ. And so we need to emulate that. We need not just protect myself, me, myself, and I. As she said, build my house, my car, my bond, my this, my that, my this, and could not care less about the brother, sister next to me, let alone my neighbor or the nations. And so this is not to make any of us feel bad. It's just saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Wherever there's a wall in my heart, please come and knock it down so that we can truly love through that, that we can love as Christ loves. And we know that's kind of a tough task, but we need help with that. What is the walls we said? We said it's fear, selfishness, comfort, idolatry, hurt and offense. Sometimes you're just so hurt, you can't even receive the love, let alone let some of it out. And that's fine. But it's a time like this where you can say, Lord, I sense that. Can I deal with this? Is there somebody that I can chat to that can help me to receive love even before I start thinking about giving love? And I want you to do that in this season. We want to love as Christ loves. You can go to the next slide. Thanks. Just quickly, I'm just laying the foundation so that you know what we are saying about friendship just after this. We looked at 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And sometimes you're like, Latif, this is tough. I'm trying to survive and you're saying love other people. I'm like, I'm struggling even to love myself. But I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and the Spirit should be poured out and pour out the love of God, as Romans says, in our hearts so that we can walk in this. The enemy, John 10:10 says, the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. What? Destroy the love of the Lord. Destroy relationships. Destroy our hearts to become cold and hardened towards other people, neighbors, the nations. But Jesus came to give life and life in abundance. Without being all cliche about it, who wants life and life in abundance? Really, who wants life and life in abundance? I'm going to ask it again. I don't see any hands or reaction. Do you want life and life in abundance, or do you just want to idle through life? Restricted. In bondage. Fearful, hurtful, resentful, walled up. Thinking that you're safe and secure, but actually just pretty alone. No, you don't. Amen. I agree. Luke 6:31. Neither do I. But remember, whenever I preach, this is not through, hey guys, I've got this right, so let me just show you how. It's not. It's because I really get hurt. I really get stinged. I really put up walls. I really like my comfort more than getting my hands dirty. I do, because I still have a flesh. But praise God, I don't want to stay there. I challenge somebody this week. I want to see people grow in Christ-likeness. Not in liking me. I want us to grow in Christ-likeness, and we need to be able to challenge one another in love. So God's taking down the walls. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. That's enough to take home. But please do stay. Colossians 3:14, and above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This morning, it seems like there was a little bit of chaos in church in setup. Things were standing around, things were happening, the sound didn't work with, and people had to do things. And when we went into intercession, I just said, Lord, thank you that love just binds us. Whatever's going on, love is above it all. Love, come and bind us. And I can just see how God's love has just kept everything together. And likewise, as a church community, as a family, may that be true for you. Petri then last week quickly said, how are you seeing things? How am I seeing Demi? How am I seeing Drew? How am I seeing church? How am I seeing my community? How am I seeing Mr. Jacob Zuma? How am I seeing the nations? How am I seeing Zimbabwe? And there's one way of seeing in the flesh, and then there's a way of seeing in the Spirit, and one is the Lord's. How am I seeing the end times and the age we're in? How am I seeing things? And so he challenged us to see the way God sees. And I believe that these two fit so beautifully together. It's like, for me to love through walls, and not wall up myself, protect myself, I need to be able to see other people. I would need to want for Dirk what I want for myself. If his wife is struggling, it would be for me as if my own wife is struggling. I'm not saying I'm always there, but Christ and the Spirit in me and the love of God can take me to that place to know Elaine is working very hard. Is he coping? Is he doing all right? And to actually care through those walls, but to see. And so we're just asking God, help us to see. Lord, take down the walls and help us to see again. You might ask, well, what does that have to do with friendship? I believe God wants to anchor us in godly friendships. And we're going to look at friendship in the Word today. We're just going to stop at Jesus. We're not going to move any further. You don't have to get mad at anybody. Don't go visit that old offense. No, we're not going to deal with that today. We're just going to go for the foundation. Who likes a good old foundation? Because I believe there's balance in life when there's a good foundation in anything. And so my heart is just where I got taught the wrong things and where I sinned and missed the mark heavily, God has just destroyed a couple of things, broken down and laid new foundations. And so hence when I build going forward in my life, whatever the case may be, I always ask God firm foundations. Even in this age and this crucial time where we are currently as the law stands with our children and disciplining and loving on our children, we need to say, Jesus, help us. We want to lay godly foundations. Not going to go into the nuts and bolts of that, but we need to go into the inner room, each individual saying, Lord, please help me because I want to get this foundation right. There's enough brokenness in this generation we're seeing. Lord, may we not repeat it. We need grace. We need help. That was just on the side. But I believe it's very crucial for every parent to seek the Lord in this time. Now, going to friendship. Who's got good friends? I'm not going to ask who's got no friends, because otherwise you'll be swamped at the coffee table afterwards, and we don't want that. Who needs friends? Yeah, let's play a game. Who's got the most friends on Facebook? Come on, give me the stats. Probably Bianca, Jessica, and I already look sky high. Edna says she chews them well. Yeah, I'm still waiting for the reply, but anyway. How many friends on Facebook do you have?
Weird.
No idea. I don't know either, but anybody, any idea how many friends on Facebook? Come on. That's the point, but don't say it aloud now. John, how many friends on Facebook? You don't do Facebook, eh? Yeah. Facebook wants to be John's friend, but John just said no. The bottom line is, and you know where we're going with this, is that... Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry, I don't have a chocolate for the winner, Chan, but Chan's got over 200 friends on Facebook. And so I guess you know their spouses, you know their children, you know their birthdays. What are each and every one of those 200 going through at the moment? Do you know? You have spoken to some of them in the last week, 3 weeks, 10 years. But the bottom line is we, sorry Jan, thank you, I had to get a scapegoat there, but you're really my friend. Not even one during the whole week. Yeah, that's the point. Friend and friendship is a word that we very loosely throw around in our culture. And I know this is going to actually touch some hearts and emotions, and I know some emotions are going to come up and say, oh, you're the seer, come praat my new word. God had laid on my heart to speak about friendships. And so I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to do work in us, or at least in me. Hallelujah. But I want you to go to those places if it comes up. And I want you to revisit as the Lord leads you so that there can be healing, because I believe we've been called for friendship and fellowship, godly ones. And so Facebook friends might not always be real friends. I have a handful of really good friends. And we all have lots of acquaintances, but it's not something that you can just hit a button with. It's much deeper than that, and it's much further than that. But we'll unpack more of that next week. I believe friendship is truly God's will and His heart for us. Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. Who's had that stage in their life? Come on, be honest. Amen. Okay, the three of us. Great stuff. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to a ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's very few things in life as sacred and as beautiful as that type of friendship. They can take you warts and all. They take you through everything and the worst, and really the worst that you have to offer, and they will stick with you as a brother or a sister. And so as a follower of Christ, when we unpack friendship, where do we start and what do? We start with Jesus. And to do that, we obviously go to Scripture and say, Lord, what does the Scripture say about friendship? Because I think we all can agree. Is there anybody that will not agree with the following statement that we all have to have friendships? Is there a personality type that say, no, that's not true? You're welcome. But sometimes I believe if you're in that place where you say, look, I need no friends, then many, many times you might, there might be a good reason or a hurtful reason even for that. We need friends. Let's go to the scripture, and we're going to go to the New Testament quickly. You can go to the next one. Thank you. And we're going to read what Christ said to his disciples. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Just put that on Facebook for your 200 friends. You are my friend if you do what I command. They're like, in what sector are you currently at, Jan? Anyway, you are my friends if you do what I command. But it's a very, very potent and a very relevant statement, by the way. We're going to get back to it. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. So it's a pretty interesting part of Scripture. Yes, friendships and servant and information being given and divulged and shared with the disciples. So it's a lot of things, and there's a lot packed in that little piece of Scripture. Now, before we unpack that, I believe we just quickly need to go to the Old Testament, because you want to see what is the thread of friendship that you see in Scripture. So let's go to the Old Testament. Abram, you'll see he was called what? A friend of God. Who would like to be called a friend of God?
I would like to be called a friend of God.
Friend, by the way, in the Hebrew definition in the Old Testament, you can try to read that. But the second line says a primitive root to have an affection for, love, like, or friend. So friend is to love, to like, and have an affection for somebody. To love. To love. You can go to the next one. We're going to look at Abram quickly. We're looking at the Old Testament because we want to know what is friendship, and we want to see what is a scripture, what is a basis, what is the foundation for it, how does it work. Was not Abram our father? You can go to the one above that, please. 2 Chronicles 27. There you go. Thank you. Let's go. And just quickly read through this. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abram, your friend forever? Now, there we see Scripture references Abram as a friend of God, but yet we don't know why. We just know what God had done, but we don't know why is he called the friend of God. And so in Isaiah 41:8 it says, but you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I've chosen, descendant of Abram, my friend. Again, God just says, yeah, it's my pal, it's my choma, it's my bestie. But we still don't know why. And so let's go to James, because I believe there's a key for us. Was not Abram, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? In other words, did he not do something? He actually did something. You see that faith was working with his works. So remember this. Abram had faith, faith in God. We're going to look at what faith is just now. He had faith in God, but it also led to actions. Who's ever had friendship without any actions? That sucks. That really sucks. The seer, man. Dis nie lekker nie. If you're on the receiving end, obviously. If it's the other way around, you're probably a narcissist, but that's another sermon. You see that faith was working with his works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected. So faith, we're going to look at what faith is just now, but faith with actions. I like friendships with faith and actions. And the scripture, by the way, Genesis 15:6 was fulfilled, which says, and Abram believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. Edna's my friend. Edna has faith in me. When nobody does, she has faith in me. This morning she commented on something that if anybody in the world would have said that, that would have killed me, it would have hurt me. But she said it because I know her heart. It was a safe space, and I realized, Lord, I've actually grown. She could say that and I was fine. But it was a safe space. There was faith and then action, and the action didn't kill me. So that was good. And so we see these things. Two things we're going to take quickly out of the Old Testament and Abram. We see here that we need to be friends by faith. Scripture calls us to be friends of God through faith. What is faith again? Listen up closely. What is faith? Before we go to the scripture, faith, the definition is just this: complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Synonyms is trust, belief, confidence, conviction, credence, reliance, dependence. Dependence, trust, confidence. God says, you're my friend if you trust me. You're my friend if you have confidence in me. You're my friends if you rely on me. And we know this beautifully fits in with what Hebrews says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so to the world, this is absolute ludicrous. They're like, what are you on? You don't see this God. You cannot touch him. Yet you have faith. You trust him. You can trust him with all that. You can now pack up your whole life and go to Timbuktu with your friend. Because you've got faith in trusting, because you've gotten to know him. And this is what I believe the Lord and the Holy Spirit might be challenging us, is that, is God your friend? But do we have that faith, trust, and confidence in him? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Trust cannot be based only on what is seen. And I believe that faith element we're going to unpack, obviously, in our earthly friendships as well. But firstly, we stay on course with our foundation. We take out of the Old Testament from Abram that he was a man of faith. God said he's my friend because he had faith and trust in God. The second thing that we're going to quickly take home from Abram is out of Genesis 18:17. There God, like tongue-in-cheek, asks a question. He says, shall I hide from Abram what I am doing? Some of the ladies, probably not here, but some ladies, somewhere in the world, nothing in their life ever happens and they don't WhatsApp it to their friend. They just tell them everything. And they take photos of their cappuccinos and of their lunch and they share it with, well, they share it with the world, but, and their nails, yeah, weird. But they share everything. Now, God asks a question that what he's actually saying is, I'm going to share what I'm doing with Abram. Shall I not do it? Obviously, I shall. I'm going to share with Abram what I'm doing. And so there's two things. You need faith for friendship. Abram taught us that. Abram's story teaches us that. And then the second thing is, when you have this friend in God, you're in the know. You know what is going on. Let's go back to the New Testament, because we're going to see the same elements there. We're looking for the thread of friendship. And we learning from the Word of God. Thank you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. If I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master or lord is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you, I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. The two elements we get there as well. We need faith in Christ. Faith in Christ kicks off this journey of friendship. Romans 5:10 says, listen closely, Romans 5:10 says, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. And so, Ritif, what does it actually mean? Just put it to me straight. If you don't sense God as being your friend or Christ being your friend, we're going to ask him to stir your faith. Come and stir a faith in your heart. That closeness. So that you can walk in the reality of what Scripture calls you into and what Christ has called his disciples and you into, to be a friend of him. Because unfortunately life happens. Our hearts get cold and cold because of things of this world, and so the faith gets sucked out sometimes, and we don't have this connection. But I'm saying, Lord, come. Let us get back to that place of connection, of knowing we are friends of the Lord. Secondly, how we can see faith is Jesus said to them there, you are my friends if you do what I command. Who of you guys do what Christ commands without having faith? I remember a time where we were in Malmesbury. Most of you know our Malmesbury story. And then we had to go to a family wedding up in Joburg. We had one car left. We had two cars and two jobs, and then at that stage, no job and one car, but yet God was saying, this is the space that I want you in. I'm saying, Lord, we need to go to this wedding. It's Edna's step-brother. It's not something we can miss. And God has said to us from the beginning, you're not going to borrow money. You're not going to ask the family. And I'm like, okay, Lord, well, this is cool. We're a family of four. We need to fly up to this wedding. What now? And God says, sell your car. I'm like, Lord, you don't understand. We've got one car. Like, you obviously missed it. And he just keeps on talking to me. I told Bernard the story the other day. I was just fearful that I was just going on my own. I was accountable to Edna, my two accountability partners, and everybody just said, yes, sure. They can confirm this. God says, sell your car. And so, we sold the car. We needed 10,000 rand for traveling costs and etc. And so I paid that, and we had 30,000 left. I'm like, okay, cool, Lord, now I need to buy a new car. Remember, we were without employment. We were waiting on the Lord. The jobs that we were offered, God said we shouldn't take because He is circumcising our hearts and we're waiting upon Him. So we're looking stupid. But it's God. Really, it was. Really, it was. And so we've got the 30,000. I'm like thinking Beetle. I'm thinking, what, Lord, what can I buy? And He says, live off the money. I'm like, obviously, we're missing out. We're missing each other again, Lord. But remember the context. I'm speaking friendship here. I'm speaking trust and confidence and knowing the voice and being there before and having done this before. He doesn't rock up to a new believer and say, well, he sometimes does, but hopefully not in this. Well, anyway, Jesus can do what Jesus wants. But sometimes He walks the road and He prepares you. He strengthens your muscles before He says, sell your car and fly to Joburg for a wedding. And so He says, well, live off the money. And I just sense what? And it is in my quiet time, in my inner room, God says, I'm going to provide. I'm going to provide. I'm going to provide. And a week and a half later of absolute turmoil, I must say that our marriage was at a tender place because of that testimony and our communication, if I remember correctly, because it was a weird space to find yourself in. And we got actually probably the pointing of the finger mostly came from Christians. So it was a tough space to be in. Long story short, I'm speaking about friendship. Somebody rocks up at Duval, the pastor leading the church in Malmesbury, where we were serving at that stage. And he just says, God has been speaking to me. Does Retief and Edna need a car? And he says, yes, they need a car. He says, well, God has said to me, I should buy them a car. And so he bought us a second-hand Ford Icon, and Duval phones me up. And he says, stop worrying, stop freaking out. God has provided. God has spoken to somebody. And they bought us this second-hand car. I just started to cry. And you know what? It's just getting to know the one that calls you friend. But it comes with sometimes tough exercises. Your friendship sometimes goes through the fires. But nobody can ever take that testimony away from us. Nobody can ever take that what seems like ludicrousy to anybody in our culture. Or in our world, or especially in Malmesbury. Nobody can take that away from us. Nobody can take the fruit of that friendship away from us. And I believe there was an exponential growth in the trust. Obviously, I'm skipping over the whole story. It's got lots of other bits and ends, and which makes it nice and interesting. But we went there, God provided, and then He provided supernaturally as well. Please do not leave church and go sell your car today unless we've spoken. I was accountable way back. Sell your car if God says so. Please, hear my heart. We're not religious. But I was accountable in it, but I knew I had His backing, and I knew it was Him. And that is the type of friendship that He calls us into, and the type of faith that He wants us to walk in. So firstly, like Abram, Christ says to His disciples, and we can see it in Scripture, have faith. There's a requirement of faith for good friendships. I'm going to say that again. There's a requirement of faith, trust, confidence, stepping out of your comfort zone for good friendship. And the second thing is, when you're friends with Christ, you're in the know. He knew what was going on. It was not just this random, it's nice idea, sell the car, fly up, have a nice time, come back and like, ooh, I'm a bit screwed now. No, it wasn't. I knew what He was up to. It still took a lot of faith to trust that He's going to come through. I think sometimes he says he comes through in, not in the way you expect, but he comes through. He's faithful. The second thing is you're in the know. Verse 15. I do not call you slaves. I put there in brackets servants anymore. Some of translations say servants. Because a slave doesn't know what his master or lord is doing. I have called you friends because I've made known to you everything I've heard from my father. And why on earth would he all of a sudden speak about slaves and masters? He's speaking about friends, and all of the matter is that he flips it over and he speaks about servants and masters. Why is that? Servants and masters, listen up close, servants and masters is transactional and it's performance driven. A servant will perform and he will get either his wages or maybe one day his freedom. He'll get whatever needs to come his way if he's done his job. It's impersonal, it's cold, and it's not closer than arm's length either. Yet God calls us into a relationship. Friendship with the Lord is relational and is not performance driven. I believe that is what we said in ministry time, maybe what the Lord has also lifted up this morning. The burden of performance, he takes off. The burden of being a servant and a slave, he takes off. Well, does nothing ever happen then? I'll go much further for a friend and a brother than for a boss. I'll go much further for a friend, a brother, a loved one than for a boss. God bless all the bosses in the house, but you're not mine. Hallelujah. You don't pay my salary. The Lord does. Hallelujah. But you hear my heart. And so Jesus flips it over. He says, be careful. I've called you friends. I've called you into a relationship. You need not perform. Jy hoef nie vir my tricks te doen, Heretief. You don't have to do turkies. And that is what I believe the Lord is calling us into, that friendship. And obviously we're going to take this thread into other relationships. Because if my relationship with the Lord is performance driven, guess what? My relationship with my wife, being my best friend, is going to be performance driven. If my relationship with the Lord is performance driven, and if I see Him, His friendship, not through faith, being in the know, being real, I'm going to have to perform, I'm going to be a servant, and I'm going to be a slave, and hence I'm going to expect that from Elian and Michael as well. If that liberty is not evident in my life, then it's definitely not going to be in my other relationships either. So what happened here? He took us from slave to friend. He took us from transactional, being transactional, and you can quickly do the math in your relationships, your church relationships. How much of it is transactional? Come, let's work it out. Edna's invited me for coffee. I've invited her for coffee. What now? She sent me a WhatsApp. I sent her a WhatsApp. What now? So you can just quickly do the math. So he took us from transactional. That wasn't weird, by the way. That was just a hand. There was nothing spiritual to it. Anyway, from transactional to relational, from cold to warm. Who would like to go from cold to warm in relationships? Even in worship this morning, I believe some of our relationships with the Lord in worship, He wants to take you from cold to warm. You can be honest, say, Lord, what is this people doing? What are they on? And just say, Lord, if what Pity next to me is experiencing with you and in your presence and hearing and receiving from you in the Spirit, I want that. Because maybe there might be a switch that Lord wants to flip. From far to close, that's what I was very religious way back. I grew up just religious, culturally religious, and God took me from being far to being close. From in it for me to in it for us. Imagine God can take us from being in it for me. I come to church because what's in it for me? I go to small group because what's in it for me? I take you out for coffee. What's in it for me? I hold my quiet time. What's in it for me? To having each other's back, saying, sell your car. I'm like, okay, Lord, He provides. Wasn't that simple? But today I can look back at it and know that it was. From giving some to receive some, to giving all to receive all. So Christ puts the challenge, the blueprint of friendship to us. And he says, I want you to be friends. So we know faith is needed. We know that the fruit of it is that we'll be in the know. Ons gaan in sy binnekring wees. Ons gaan weet wat skit. We're going to know what's cooking. Who of you guys, even the men, you know what, you want to know what's cooking? You like to be in the know, or is it just me? It's probably just me then. Okay. Ek en die girls, ons like om te weet wat aangaan. Third thing that I want to add here is that as a friend, I received the greatest love ever. I was jogging the other day and thinking about, yeah, but why can I tell people to be friends with God? Why would they want to be a friend with Jesus? Until I just came to the very simple realization, Jesus' friendship in my life is everything. It is everything to me. I've got no better explanation. I've got no other theological explanation than this. Jesus' friendship in my life is everything. You take that away, I'm out. You take the friendship of Christ out of my life, I'm dead. I love my wife, I love my children, I love you guys. But without the friendship of Christ, I'm a dead man walking. That is what it means to me. That is what the friendship of Jesus means to me. And that is my heart and my passion. And that's the foundation I believe he wants to put in our lives. He did it first. Greater love is no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus wasn't the cool kid at the back of the bus, waiting until you swear three times, hypothetically speaking, had a cool Coke, had a nice haircut, and said, hey, come and park here with me. No, no. We serve a different king. He was humble, he was meek, and he laid down his life. He loved you even before you could remotely think about loving him back by laying down his life. When you were utter stranger for him, he said, I wanted to be your friend, Rinda. Before Rinda was even born, Christ said, I'll lay down my life because I want friendship with this lady one day. There's millions of lost out there, and that's what I want, oh God, is to stir a passionate heart. Lord, knock down the walls. He's died for friendship with them. They just need to hear it. But first, us as the church, we need to realize it and walk in it. Not having to perform tricks, because otherwise we're going to get them in here. Hey, come and perform our tricks. Because we're in a performance-driven culture of having to perform for friendship, having to perform for treats. And it's, no, no, no. I've died. I've given everything for this friendship. I've said bestie before you even looked at me. I'm speaking Demi now. No, she's too cool for bestie. But he gave everything before I even thought about giving anything back to him. You know what happens? Friendship in the flesh. The flesh would say, first be my friend and I'll be yours. Rocks up at church and say, first love me and I'll love you back. Walks into small group and, love my brokenness, please, before I'll think about loving your brokenness. Respect me before I respect you. Serve me before I serve you. That is what the flesh has done to friendships. Walk the extra mile for me three times and I'll think about inviting you back. Why? Is it because we're gross human beings now? I believe because we hurt sometimes and we've gotten hurt before, and so the walls comes up and we're like, I don't know if I'm going to go there, but love and faith is going to call you. Say, come on, take the risk. Yes, you're going to get hurt again, but I'm bigger than that because I'm your true first friend. I'm the friend that can go deeper than any other friend. My friendship can go, Christ's friendship can go where no other friendship can go. Edna's friendship is amazing in my life. I'm so blessed by her as my wife and my friend, but there's an area that her friendship and her love for me cannot reach, but that the friendship of Christ can reach. He just made us that way. Sorry if this is new news to you, but you'll constantly be chasing friendships. You'll constantly be offended and relying on other stuff if you don't come to the realization that that perfect love of Christ is the one that can love that deepest part of us. So we said the flesh, first want you to be my friend, and then I'll think about being yours. So it's a slave transaction. But the Spirit says, no, I can be your friend first. Will you be mine? You've got a choice. Hey, Stephen, I'm going to love on you. In a very male, manly, godly, biblical fashion. I'm going to love on you. But you go decide. You go decide. To what degree? No, I don't want to take it up, Ruthie. I'm going to keep on loving on you. I'm going to keep on loving on you. Because you know what? I'm not going to put a false burden on this friendship either, because I've got a very good friend that loves me perfectly. And the foundation is whole. The foundation of my friendship is whole. And so that's the difference between having friendships in the flesh and, I believe, having them in the Spirit. The Spirit's friendships, I believe, is friendship freedom. I can love Willem, and he might not love me back the way I expect it. But there's a friendship freedom in me that I know that Christ is my first friend. It takes the burden off Willem. It doesn't take the burden off me. The reality of the only one that can truly love me deeply, perfectly, as a perfect good friend first is Christ, takes the burden off Willem. Now it gives Willem time to mature into being a good friend. Going to play dreifings with me, or touchies at the beach, or fistfang, or whatever the case may be, I'm expecting. Or dancing, whatever. You hear my heart. Why is friendship with Jesus an anchor? Because I said Jesus is my life, and He's the only one that can truly satisfy and fill me. And as I said, I believe that's the foundation that is laid for all others. As I'm finishing off, I just wrote down, it's one or two take-home things that we could just go mull over as we're talking friendship. I want you to take, firstly, your friendship with the Lord this week in your quiet time. Take it to God. Say, Lord, how's our friendship? How's the faith, the trust, the confidence? Do I trust you? Do I have confidence in you? Do you see me as friend, and am I your friend? Jesus said a very tough thing there. He said, you're my friends if you do what I command. It's not typical, very culturally perfect or well put as we would expect it in this age. But he said, you're really my friend if you have faith, but also do the things that I've called you to do. We all want bumper stickers, fussy bumper stickers. We all want to say, yes, I'm a Christian. But he calls us into that friendship of obeying as well. And doing what the gospel, doing what the word calls us to do. And that sometimes is a difficult one for the flesh, but I believe the Lord will help us. These are just three or four things that I believe we can take home and go think about as we unpack this series. James 4:4 says, you adulteresses, disloyal sinners. He's not speaking directly to any of you guys. Relax. We're just looking at the scripture. The Holy Spirit will just unpack what is necessary. Do you not know that being the world's friend, that is loving the things of the world, is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Adulteresses, the Holman says, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? So whoever wants to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy. Scripture is like a double-edged sword. It comes and it divides, and it comes and it judges the ways and the thoughts of the heart. But you need to let. You just need to say, Lord, I hear what Ruthie is saying today. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be a friend of Christ, as Scripture calls me. But what I do realize, and what we do realize and need to say to one another, is, guys, we cannot be a solid chummy with Jesus and a solid chummy with the world. There's a battle. That's a tough part of Christianity. The word says, the road is narrow and few find it. So I'm going to say to you guys today, hey guys, the road is narrow and few find it. I'm not saying, I'm not going to define and say, these are the 50 things that I define as the world. The Holy Spirit will tell you what the world is, that you need to be careful of. But we need to say, Lord, I want to befriend you. Why do I want to befriend the Lord rather than the world? Because I want what is eternal. not what is temporary. And if I befriend the world as a foundation, as a first friendship, all of my friendships will be influenced by that. But if I have Christ as the foundational friendship in my life, the one that brings contentment, the one that knows me and can deal with my yucky stuff and still loves on me without having to jump through hoops, through faith in Christ, then that will influence all of the friendships of my life. And so that's why I put that scripture up there, and that's why I want you to take that home. You need to say, Lord, let's chat. I don't want to for 10, 30, 40, 70 years be friends of the world, but for eternity not be friends with God. I want to bear the fruit of being friends with Christ in all of my relationships. So it's one or the other. It's not both. Remember, we love people in the world, but not the things of the world. Lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The things of the flesh. We're still going to love people because He loves them. We're still going to see through our eyes. We're not going to be weird. We're not going to go move somewhere and make this holy clique and bunker up. No, that's not what we're going to do. Please hear the right heart here. Remember, Christ loved everybody. It's just what is the priorities of my heart. What is it that I think fulfills me? A fat salary? The car, the house, the things that Natasha mentioned earlier? What is the things that I think satisfies me? Friendship with the things of the world or friendship with Christ? So hear the difference. Last two things that we can take home is, the second is fulfillment in friendship. Guys, if there's no balance in my friendship with Christ, there's no balance in my friendships with other people. If I don't get what I need to get from Christ, I will expect it from my friends, and they can't do it. If I don't spend time with Christ, if I'm not spending time with Him, I'm not growing in faith and confidence and knowing what is up to in my life, why am I in this situation, what is up, if those two things, and if the third thing, the love, the perfect love that He gives me is not evident, and if I don't meditate and spend those times with Him, and I'm friends with Dirk, I'm going to expect that from Dirk. It's going to be put a burden on Dirk. If I get into a small group, if I get into a church community, and Christ is not my primary, my first friend, I'm going to expect Ralph and Bianca to perform. They're going to have to perform. They need to stand in the gap. And Johan needs to do that. And I'm not taking away. We're going to revisit, obviously, the other friendships next week. But I'm just saying, He is the balancing factor, and we need to make sure that our fulfillment comes from His friendship first. And He fulfills if you do what He says. Where's my Bible? Yeah, but what should I do? The Gospels is a very good place to start. You want to be a good friend of Christ? Say, Lord, help me. And you're not having to perform this on your own. We're walking a tightrope, as you can see here today, between not falling away in performance. We're just saying, I see this lack, I see this need, Holy Spirit, help me. Christ said to you, my friend, if you do what I command, what is it? Go read the word, ask the Spirit, what is the rhema word in the season? And then the third thing, it ties in, I believe if my foundation is flawed, my friendship idea and friendship foundation is flawed, everything will be skewed. Can you stand with me as we pray? Jesus, we lift up our hearts to You. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, there's a couple of nice things said this morning and shared this morning prophetically and in this sermon time, Lord, but there's also a couple of tough things that's maybe challenging our hearts. But we ask, Holy Spirit, just come and help us. Just come and help us to in this process of knocking down the walls, just to let Christ in again. to let Christ in and to be his friend. Christ, I invite you just to afresh in my life, just be my first friend. My first friend, as Scripture calls it. And I thank you, Jesus, that you laid down your life for me. That action has saved me. And likewise has saved all of us that has proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ over our lips. So we thank you for that friendship, firstly and foremostly. But we ask, Lord, as a people, Lord, and only if it's applicable in your heart, we just ask that you will grow us in this friendship. Grow us in faith. Grow us in the times of trust and confidence to be built. And then to hear and to listen and to know what you're busy with and to partner with you. We ask that you come in and just the voids in our heart, the voids in our soul that Christ, you alone can speak into, that you will come and speak into those in this time. Very simply, if you want to better befriend Christ in this season, just raise your hand. Very simply, just by faith, as children. Christ, we don't come with a formula, we don't come with a specific little prayer. We just say, yes, humble hearts, saying, I want to better befriend Christ than I want to befriend the world. I want to better befriend Christ because he's the one that came to serve and to lay down his life, even though he could keep it in rule and reign in so many other ways. I want to come and get to know this love afresh, and I want this friendship to be the foundation of all the friendships in my life. Holy Spirit, please help us with that. Please lead us in the word, and please come and build that in our lives. And as we unpack in this season or in this couple of weeks or maybe even just 2 weeks, Holy Spirit, help us just to take stock and come and heal and restore all the brokenness of friendships and relationships in our lives that need it. Because we want to run and not grow weary. We want to walk and not faint. And we want life and life in abundance. So have grace and mercy on us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Please grab some coffee and cake. If you want to pray with me or with Edna afterwards, if there's a need in your heart, please come and chat to us. Otherwise, God bless.